what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Brighton Albion have promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick and I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Are you well, Nick?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate.
Good stuff. So I guess we'll start with Derby County. That's probably the biggest news. Nigel Pearson's been sacked, or well, mutual consent is the official line. But he's been suspended for the past couple of weeks. He had an argument from the owner, is what I understand. And yeah, now he's gone.
Well, I think it's I think at the start of the season, I think everyone thought it was going to be a good appointment. Obviously, Nigel's got a fantastic track record in the Championship, and also did a great job at Leicester. You could sort of say laid the groundwork for their incredible season last year. So he's done all that, obviously. Yeah, but I think when you look further into it, then the problem's obviously, it's a case of, yeah, I can see why this has gone wrong. I think it's no secret that the Derby chairman, it's run his way. It's what the manager simply has to be a yes man, really. He has to do the coaching, but it's simply run what the Derby chairman's way. He picks the team, he wants the players that he picks a sign in, so it's all done his way. And I think, obviously, as we know, Nigel Pearson's obviously not a yes man, so looking into it hasn't really worked out too well for both parties. But I think now Derby need to concentrate. They need to get someone in that's going to do the job to get promoted. I know I haven't really seen too many names linked with the job. I know Chris Powell. There's no plans to give him the but that could potentially work, really, I think. But hey ho, I think.
Well, Chris,
Derby's still. They're still not out of the playoff race or anything like that. I think if they can get this appointment sorted quickly, that they could, I reckon they can still potentially challenge for a playoff spot. As for Pearson, I think I think he will still be very hot property if anyone is to lose their job in the Championship. His name will still be one of the favourites to take over with how well he did at Leicester. So I think it's one of those jobs that just hasn't worked out for both parties.
Yeah. Oh, I think Pearson will be fine. He'll easily get another job. But it's a difficult one. Who's going to take the job? Because I don't know. Obviously, as you say, Chris Powell's the obvious choice, and I know he's had experience. He was at Huddersfield, weren't he, in Charlton? He was the boss there, so he's had experience. But it's not like the other vacancies we've seen where you know you get the names linked. So I don't know. It's a difficult one, but. I don't know, maybe going foreign might be a good way for Derby to go, I think.
Yeah, it could work. I mean, we had that a couple of years ago, we sort of just had a head coach in Oscar Garcia, and that worked out very well. He was did a great job last obviously got to the playoffs, which were unsuccessful, funny enough, against Derby. But no, he did a great job with the last Oscar, so maybe Derby could go down that route, but I don't know. But I think obviously, there's no secret, the chairman does love the football club. He's obviously ploughed a lot of money into the club. But obviously, I think he really needs to maybe take a think that if it's going to really be his way, is he really going to see his side succeed?
Yeah.
So obviously, it's just getting through to him. That's obviously going to be the important question. But no, I mean, if Derby can get this appointment sorted and sort of their off the field problems out, they'll be fine, I think.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to Aston Villa, where as we said last week, Di Matteo's obviously been sacked. Steve Bruce looks like he's highly likely to take over. I saw him on Sky. He was saying that he's had a conversation with Villa about the job. And it looks he's massively odds-on favourite to take it.
Yeah, it'd be a great appointment. I think, obviously, with Villa, they went down the Di Matteo route. So he had a little bit of experience in the Championship, but obviously nothing on Bruce's standard. But it just, again, it didn't work out, really. Villa need, obviously, they're crying out for someone who's going to play, who's going to, or sort of see out results and also just get that bit more attacking flair going. I think Bruce can do that in both sides. He can obviously sort of hold he knew how to win the matches, but also knew how to win them comfortably as well, which is the main thing I think the fans, as I say, are crying out for. So I think Bruce will be a very safe appointment, and and certainly steer their season back on track. And as I said, I don't feel that they're out of the picture in any stretch of the imagination.
Well, that's the thing we say. You've said the same thing with Villa as well, with Derby as well. Sorry, you know they're both on 10 points. Yeah. They're both just above the relegation. But it's the second half form which really counts, whether you know you're in the playoffs or not, because it's just so. You know, the tables are.
Tom, I was just going to say, you only have to look at them. I know we probably say it every year in the Championship, but you only have to look at the Crystal Palace season when Ian Dowie took over. I think they're in the bottom. They might have even been bottom on Christmas Day. They're certainly in the relegation zone on Christmas Day and end up getting promoted to the Premier League. So you've only got to look at that. And I think Reading as well, a few years ago, I think they were in lower bottom half and then they ended up winning the whole league altogether. So it's you've got to look at stories like that. So I think when you're in October, you certainly need to judge that whether you think your manager's going in the if your manager's definitely going to take the club forward. Derby and Villa obviously both decided that it's not working out and obviously got rid. And I think it's the correct time to do it, especially over an international weekend. So I think, no, if they can both get, say, Villa getting Bruce in, that would be a great appointment. And I certainly think that they're not going to be out of the picture by any stretch of the imagination.
The other names linked with the Villa job, I know David Wagner of the Huddersfield boss was linked, and also Steve Clarke. I can't see Wagner leaving his job at the moment, top of the table.
Yeah, and no, I think it'll be the wrong time for Wagner to go. You see many managers make that mistake where they've sort of built a sign cup at a nice club and they're getting going and they sort of jump ship and join a big club. But obviously a big club that needs rebuilding, then it doesn't work out. And then I think we saw it with Dougie Freeman when he was at Crystal Palace, got them in really good shape. But then he obviously jumped at the chance to join a big club in Bolton. And I think, obviously, you don't really need me to say any more. we're looking at both clubs where they are now. So, obviously, I think one manager I think could be a perfect fit for both players also. Another name is Gary Rowett. The job he's done at Birmingham has been absolutely outstanding and maybe a bit controversial, but I personally believe he's taken Birmingham maybe as high as he's probably going to get them, in all honesty. So I think he'll be a great one for either Derby or Villa. That'd be a bit controversial going from there, but no, I think his name will certainly be linked around with big clubs when they come available.
Mm-hmm. Just final managerial change in the Championship. Neil Warnock took over as Cardiff City boss. It was a strange thing what happened before with Paul Trollope and Russell Slade. Obviously, neither of them are there now, but it was a strange thing what happened in the summer with Russell Slade taking on a different role at the club. And the coach, Paul Trollope, becoming the manager.
Yeah, I never really got that at all. I still don't get it now, so I'm not going to go into all big detail because, as I say, I simply just don't get it. It made no sense whatsoever, especially given how well Russell Slade actually did last season, when taking into consideration the competition up against how they actually got them nearly talking about a playoff spot. And so I think he did an outstanding job. So it all didn't really make any sense, especially with Paul Trollope. I know he's quite a respected coach, but as a manager, he's hasn't really done anything at a higher level. I know he's done a few lower league clubs, so that never really made sense. Again, like we said with Derby, they've replaced their manager at probably a correct time. And well, you can't really get more experience than Neil Warnock, can you?
Well, that's the thing. He didn't. He had the option of staying on at Rotherham, and they really seemed to want him to stay, but he was saying he doesn't feel he's up for the long-term project, and now he's coming to Cardiff. It seems a strange one.
It's a bit odd. I think the amount of times we've heard him say, I think I'm going to retire. I think he's obviously not wasting any time by bringing in players, so he's clearly got his eyes set on the job, but you have to look at the job he did at Rotherham last year, kept them up against the odds. And it proved, I think there was a few offers, sort of job at Leeds. People saying he's lost it a bit, but I think Rotherham proved that he's still got a lot of fire left in the belly. Whether Cardiff will be his last job or not, we don't know. But as I say, he's got a tough job on his hands there, because I don't think Cardiff have got a very strong squad as we've seen them have over the last sort of few seasons. I know he's already recruited. I know he's sort of set to sign. I think he has signed Jordan Junior, Horley, the old QPR winger, which I think is a good signing. And I think Sol Bamba's going to sign as well. Not too convinced about that signing, but no, I think he will certainly have a relegation battle on his hand. I think, say, Cardiff, I don't think Cardiff are in a particularly strong squad this season. But no, I think it'll be the case of sort of keeping them up this year, maybe getting them a good mid-table finish, and then and seeing where the club wants to go in the summer, really.
It's a bit like Sam Allardyce in the Premier League. He sort of loves that sort of battle, I think. I think that's something really...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that challenge of it. But, yeah, it's interesting signing Junior Hoyler. He seemed to have something about him. I remember him at Blackburn. He looked like he could be something special. And I know interested top clubs. He's a done deal as at the time of recording. And then Sol Bamba and Maro and Shamak are both having medicals, so...
Yeah, Shamak as well. Again, he'll probably be quite good for this level.
Yeah, I could see him being quite good. So, yeah, I guess if he keeps him up... I don't think it'd be an impressive achievement as he did with Rotherham last season, but still something not to be sniffed at.
No, it certainly won't. I think it certainly won't be anywhere near the heights of Rotherham last year, but as I say, I think he's in a good position to where he is at the Cardiff at the moment to keep them up. So no, I think it's the case of keeping them up and then seeing where the club really wants to go in the summer.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on to League One. So big news is at Shrewsbury, Mickey Mellon's. It's never clear whether he's quit or resigned, whether he's quit or been sacked, but somewhere in between. He's no longer at Shrewsbury and he's taken over Tranmere Rovers, who are currently in the National League.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one, really, isn't it? I know it's two leagues down, but I still think that's probably quite a good decision by him. I know Shrewsbury did a club that was very struggling. It looked like it was going to be a bit of a hard season, but Tranmere, obviously, they're one of the big, they are the big, I think they are, but they are the biggest side in the National League. So it's certainly a big role to take on. And I think he'll do a good job at Tranmere. He's got a lot of talent at Tranmere. He's got a lot of the biggest budget in the league, so it's a very attractive job to take on. And in all fairness, they're probably about the same size as Shrewsbury Tranmere. I mean, they're not so long ago, they were sort of one of the biggest clubs in League One. So he's certainly got a good setup up there, and I think he'll be fine. But with Shrewsbury, I think it was a job that was just getting tougher and tougher as the weeks went on, really. And I think I know a lot of players kind of said we let the manager down, really. But no, I think it could potentially be a good move by him and the football club as well, because obviously he's struggling in the league. And a new manager with new ideas to come in, I think they need.
Well, I think second bottom of the league. I don't think they were going to go anywhere anytime soon. So yeah, I think it's the right thing. I know the board have said they tried to be patient with him, but I know the two favourites for the job, either Jim Bentley or Rob Edwards, according to Sky Bet. I saw Wolves manager Kenny Jackett was also linked with it.
Yeah, Kenny Jackett would be a great job. Whether Kenny would want the job or not remains to be seen. But those names mentioned, Jim Bentley's obviously done a great job with Morsham. So there's some good names linked with the job, and it's a nice ground and they've got there, and now they're the only football club in Shropshire, so got that kind of family in a way, I guess. But I think they can get the right name, and then they've still got plenty of time to get out of the mess and hopefully sort of move on up the league.
Yeah, Coventry still haven't got a manager. I know we talked about them in depth last week with Matty. Mark Venus is the heavy favourite to take over now, so. Yeah, he seems to have done okay. He's got the first win of the season since taking over as a temporary manager.
Yeah, funny how it works, really, that in football. I think I see it because it gets a reaction out of the players we've seen. But no, I think much needed, and hopefully they can kick on now. So Coventry, so we should discuss it a bit over the last few weeks, and hopefully they can that can be sort of their kickstart season, and so they get a lot of shrews, but they can move on up the table.
Yeah, so moving on to the football in League One, obviously it was the international break, so there was no Championship football. It was first win in seven games for Bolton. They beat Swindon 1-0. They've been struggling a bit after their good early season form, but yeah, good win for them.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, the wins like that, then when you're going for a bad run of form, then you end up winning an away game 1-0 in ugly circumstances. They're the wins that really define you as a promotion chasing club. So I think with Bolton they've confirmed that they're going to they're definitely going to be doing that this season. I know we said they're going to struggle I did think they were going to struggle, but I think, so when you're on a bad run of form and then you get out of it with a win like that, I think that does prove the strength and the character you've got in your dressing room to win games like that, especially Swindon. Not a place, it's not an easy place to go. Done well over the last few years, so I think I think that really has proved that they're going to be a strong team this year, and one to really look out for.
Yeah. Northampton, I think the game of the weekend, Northampton came from behind. They had a man sent off down to 10 straight red card. They drew 1-1 with the top of the table Scunthorpe.
Yeah, good point for them. As you know, Scunthorpe, it was another goal for Josh Morris on Saturday. So he really is the man in form. And it's funny with players like Josh Morris, obviously, you find the club and you just get settled at, and you can, so as I know, he struggled over his green, didn't do it. Doing at Blackburn as a youngster, so he seems to have found his club and still at a good age. So I think Scunthorpe will enjoy it, and maybe what we've seen over the years of Scunthorpe, perhaps people have used sort of Scunthorpe as a stepping stone, which the club sort of liked, because obviously it gives them money to keep the club going and everything. So maybe he could be sort of the next one. I know they've had Gary Hooper and a few others over the years. I think that Scunthorpe has certainly enjoying him, and they're. That's a good point, though, for Northampton, as you said it yourself. Scunthorpe, with the team in form, is probably the most difficult place you can go at this time. But obviously, when they're losing Matt Taylor as well, a player of that class in the second half, and to get a point, show, again, like we said with Bolton, shows a great character, and also shows that Northampton have the spine for a promotion battle as well this season.
Mm-hmm. The other team in the battle for promotion, Bradford, who stay second in the table, they beat Shrewsbury 2-0. I believe they're still unbeaten.
Yep, still unbeaten. It's been, as I say, they're looking very strong, Bradford. And I know the game's always really need to make sure you win. I know it's easy to when you have a team that's struggling, like we said, Shrewsbury, when they come to you, it's easy to sort of turn up and it's easy to turn up and just expect the 3 points to be done. But no, you have to win those games. And again, I think that proves that you're going to, if you can keep winning those games, you're going to be up there at the end of the season. Mark Bradford certainly are.
And also Bury were top, or while they were fighting with Bradford and Scunthorpe, they've fallen away a bit. They've lost their last two games, one of them against Tabletop in Scunthorpe, the other against Peterborough mid table. So, yeah, drop a bit for them.
Yeah, good win for Peterborough. But I know they haven't really been hitting the heights that they have hit over the last few years. Peter Boyle, although it was, you know, a struggle bit last season, but yeah, with Peter Ray, again, it's one of these grounds. The crowd are very vocal there. And full credit to Peter for getting the win. It's a big win for them if they want to start kicking on again this season. But obviously, very bad at the office for them, but I'm sure that's still be fine. I'm very so the start of the season proved better than anyone connected to that football club thought they would start.
Yeah.
So, I think they'll be fine. I think, just as I said, Peterborough, obviously, when you're in form, teams raise their game. And obviously, when you go to a place like Peterborough, so with the atmosphere, it can be difficult. And all credit to Peter.
You're right. Didn't look at it from that point of view. But, I mean, first win in six games. They hadn't won the six games prior to that. And, yeah, now a point off the playoffs. So, it's, yeah, good result for them. We'll move on to League Two. I know Paul Tisdale looks like he's under pressure at Exeter because they've only won two home games in 2016.
Well, I mean, he's been there for so long, and sometimes when you've got to look at Arsenal, it's at the very top, when you're at a football club for so long, it's almost like you don't even need to worry about getting sacked. But now I think it's almost become like he's taking his job for granted in a way, really. They had two wins in 2016, in my opinion, is just completely unacceptable. say they're in a relegation zone. So you would have to say that the board took a decision ahead of themselves that they might have to make a sacking for the first time in God knows how long, probably in this century, I think. Because I think, as I say, he's been there for a long, long time. But if dropping out of the Football League, obviously, that can potentially be a case of you've got to make the decision, but they've got to make it soon, I think, because they can't keep going on. Obviously, not picking up wins, especially winnable home games as well. No disrespect to Grimsby.
Yeah, you'd expect a dull 0-0 draw. I mean, they've only scored 8 goals all season as well. He said he named an attacking lineup.
And I know he's got a young team as well. He's very young team at Exeter and on a very big budget as well. But obviously, again, maybe it's the club. Maybe they want to freshen. Maybe they want to freshen things up. I think over the years, I think he's obviously going to be a legend at Exeter for life. But maybe it could be potential time for a change. But I think obviously it wasn't too long ago. He was being linked with the Bristol City job in the Championship. So he's obviously a good manager, but maybe it could be best maybe for a round for him to move away from the club to sort of go to a new club to freshen him up and vice versa for Exeter City.
Yeah. At the top of the table, it's really taking shape. The top teams, Plymouth won with Sonny Bradley scoring twice, and he also scored an own goal in that match. Carlisle won as well, and Doncaster winning 3-2 over Barnet. Andy Williams scoring in the 92nd minute. So yeah, top of the tables, you know, the top teams are really hitting some good form.
Yeah, so that could be active for both Plymouth and Doncaster. Again, like I said, in League One, it shows the spine you've got if you want to be up there at the end of the season. And with Plymouth, I think solid, an interesting day for Sonny Bradley. I know he's an experienced defender. He's been in the league for a little while now, so I think he knows. And I see the goals were all very near each other as well, weren't they? As well, it was 47-54 and 58. So I think that's almost a perfect quick hat trick. But sadly, one of them was in the wrong net. But no, again, Plymouth have really started the season strong, and they're one of my tip picks to get promoted this season.
Fourth place Portsmouth also picked up a win at Leighton Orient. Leighton Orient had that new manager we spoke about last week, Alberto Caverson, so not a good start from his point of view.
No, not. And I know obviously losing to Portsmouth is never really of any shame, really, because obviously, we know how big the club is and how big the budgets are and everything that at the football club. But even so, it's obviously it's a slow start. We might take a bit of a well, to kick into gear, but now since they have lost their manager, now they're only they've dropped all the way down to 20th in the league, and only a couple of points off the drop zone. So obviously they need to make some changes. They need to sort themselves out quicker there to sort of salvage their season really and put a bat to them. But no, good win for Portsmouth nonetheless. And like we said, it's always those tough 1-0 ones you need to grind out and they certainly did that, and so that they will be very, very, very valuable 3 points come May.
I'll move on. Last week, the players and managers of each division were announced. So in the Championship, it was Brentford Scott Hogan who won player of the month, scored a hat trick against Preston, and the manager of the month went to Norwich's Alex Neil, who's seen Norwich go up to second after a shaky start.
Yeah, I can't really argue with either of them. Scotty Hogan, he scored 2 against us actually in September for Bradley. He's looking like he's the player that I know he had a nasty injury before, but he's looking like he's getting back into the swing of things now. He certainly looked very good, like he got his pace back when I saw him play at the Amex. And obviously, if you're a pacey forward in the Championship, then that's going to go a long, long way in helping you with your goals. And he certainly looks a real deal. And that'll be key for Brentford this season, because I think they missed that last season. So obviously, we lose an Andre Gray. I think if they can get him fit and keep him fit for the season, Brentford could be in for a good season like they were a couple of years ago.
Do you think Brentford could get promoted?
I think they've got a good shout. So far this season, they've been the best team I've actually seen us play against, in all honesty. They look strong in all areas of the park and they're very well organised. And they're same with him up front and a few quick wide men. They look very dangerous going forward. So they were the team that I was most impressed with at the Amex so far this season, Brentford. So no, I think they've definitely got a shout.
All right. Move on to League One. I know the Bury manager, David Flitcroft, we said they lost the last 2 games, but the 5 games they played in September, he won all 5 of them. And that saw Bury get up. And as you said before, you know, no one is expecting them to be fighting at the top. So it's difficult to argue, you know, especially with a perfect record. You can't really argue against him when he's manager of the month.
No, I've always liked David Flitcroft. I thought he was very good Barnsley there. He's a very passionate man, really, really loves the game. And as I say, it's nice to see him doing well. And I think Bury, as I say, he wouldn't really have them down as early season pace setters, but he's say he's doing a great job there, and Norway continues, so a nice little football club, and so it's nice to see the manager doing well.
You said about, I know we mentioned him earlier in the show, Josh Morris, one player of the month. He obviously went from Bradford on a free in the summer, and he's had a fantastic start to the season, as you said before.
Yeah, no, it's as I say, with Scunthorpe, obviously with them, they've certainly rated, they've sort of, a lot of players have used Scunthorpe as a stepping stone in the past. In Gary Hooper's the biggest name that springs to mind.
Yeah.
He's enjoying his football, and as I say, when you've got players in form, obviously it raises eyebrows from the leagues above. But obviously, he's just going to keep going, really. They Scunthorpe are in a good league, and I think everyone's really enjoying it at the club. And clearly, obviously, he's got a good partnership up there with Paddy Madden as well, who's got a bit of experience in the league. So, I think they've got a good setup at Scunthorpe, and it's certainly helping them players like Josh Morris.
Well, that's the thing. I was looking at his how much game time he got before the season, and he played next to nothing at Scunthorpe. He made a few.
That's right. Again, just proved that over the hard work over the summer can do well. If you get a few goals in pre-season, gets that bit of confidence, gets that smile on your face, and then it can translate into the August league games. Maybe get the season off by then. That keeps running, then it keeps running, and obviously you've got a lot of goals under your belt, and that's exactly what he's done. And long may it continue.
Okay, and finally, in League Two, Derek Adams, the Plymouth boss, he got four wins and a draw in September. So, and obviously Plymouth way top of the league, 5 points clear of Doncaster. Notts County striker John Stebb, winning player of League Two, player of the month in League Two. He scored five goals, and I guess at this level, he's very good. I know he had his chance in the Premier League, but I know League Two, he was very prolific previously.
Very, obviously a very experienced striker. I mean, I can't imagine there's as many strikers in that league that have probably got a CV like John Stead. But no, he's obviously doing his football again. He's experienced, obviously that can help other players around him as well. But it's a big name for Notts County to have on their books, and obviously they're paying big wages, so it's good to see him sort of awarding the club with that. I think he's obviously always scored goals wherever he's gone in his career. He's always been a handful. And again, his confidence is up this season. And long may it continue for the striker. I know he's had setbacks for injuries over years, but let's say he's keeping fit, and it's obviously doing him and Notts County a lot of good.
Uh-huh. All right. There's just one final thing I want to move on to and talk about. It's there's this new scheme, the EFL Futures, which has been announced. Well, it's been unveiled over the past sort of week. So it's basically a scheme where a team with £750,000 a year over the next 3 years is going to be allocated for teams which promote homegrown players. So I think there's two things I'd be interested to know. I mean, do you think it would matter? Do you think that managers, they'll make a difference in managers thinking of playing, you know, young English talent?
I think it probably will, to be honest. I mean, if you've got the case of, you've got a first-team player, I know he might be on heavy wages, he's not doing the business at all, and they're a very fringe player, and obviously you can't rely on them out anymore. Then you've got an up-and-coming youngster who's banging the goals in, say, in development squad or under-18 games, and you've got the choice. You might even just go, heck it, if we put this kid on the bench, bring on, he does well, and we're going to get some money as a result of it. Whereas if we've got this fringe player, and then we're only really paying him just to justify paying the wages. So it could bear on whatever the manager really on you is on it. I mean, ideally it would be nice if he did the kid who's scoring goals in pre-season and is scoring goals in the development squad and what have you. But as I say, I think it's a good rule personally, and as England fans, we always want to encourage more young English talents come through the systems. However, then if I look at it as my football club, with Brighton, I'd rather mainly see us focus on getting promoted, really, rather than trying to find a bed young. So if they're good enough, it'd be great to see them come through. You know, I think we've got some fans we've seen over the years. We've seen Solly March and Lewis Dunker who come through. They're English and they're absolutely outstanding. Lewis Dunker especially, who's been the best centre back in the Championship this season. So when you've got players like that, it works, and it's fantastic to see. But then, obviously if you're focusing around Brendan or players, then you could potentially struggle. So I think it's a good rule, and it'll just be interesting to see which sort of clubs go for it, and it benefit those that haven't really got the huge budgets as well, especially down the lower in League Two when you're talking about the Accrington standards and what have you. If they can get a reward out of bringing youngsters through, then that's good for them.
The thing is I was looking at the England squad at the Euros, and more than half of them came from Football League clubs, through their academies rather than, because you imagine that they're all, United Academy or, Spurs or Arsenal or the big clubs, but most of them have come through the Football League.
Yeah, I'm thinking back on it. Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct.
14 of the 23 by my count.
Yeah, well, thinking already on the top of my head of big name players, you've got John Hart, I believe, came through Shrewsbury.
Dele Alli at MK Dons.
Yeah, Dele Alli, MK Dons. Jamie Vardy, obviously the obvious one, through non-league into Fleetwood. You've got some big names there, and if the clubs can get the right players through, if anyone look at what's in the championship, there's some class young English players in that league. Lewis Van previously mentioned, Will Hughes, Alan Armstrong. There's some really good youngsters there, so if they can. So they can get given the chance, and you'd like to think they can grab it with both hands. So, and obviously if the club have got an incentive to do it, then surely it's all around good news.
It is. The thing which I don't like about it, and I know Shane would like me saying this, is I don't think that this should be given to Football League clubs. I think we should be doing more, to force the Premier League's hands to try and get this sort of scheme happening in the Premier League rather than it being the responsibility of Football League clubs. I don't know if you.
I do agree with that as well, to be fair.
I think it's a nice idea though, and I think the other thing a bit which they have done as well, a bit more controversial, I suppose, is the change to the Johnson's Paint Trophy, the Checker Trade Trophy now with the under 23 Premier League sides in it.
Well, you've only got to look at that, and that's an absolute joke. I think even now clubs are taking the piss out of it, really. I mean, you look at Bradford, I think they subbed their keeper off the 2 minutes just to get around bending the rules. I mean, but good on Bradford for doing that, and good on Nathan Jones at Luton for saying that he'll pay the fine out of his wages for playing youngsters. I mean, they go about saying that the whole idea of this comes just to bring for young players, but then if clubs can't make the amount of changes, then they're going to get fined. It's all just a bit of a joke, really, that competition as a whole, and it's no wonder why the attendances are so low, because people have obviously peed off about it.
It's a joke what's going on. And I know as well, the other thing is a lot of the top teams haven't even, like your Man United's and other top teams haven't entered an under 23 side as well.
And even the other teams that are struggling, I think there's not many under 23s that have actually won.
No. All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of the show. Unless there's anything else you'd like to mention or discuss.
I think that is about it. I think, mate.
All right. There's just one other final thing I want to say. Gary Monk's got a touchline ban for the weekend. He was sent to the stands in the game against Bristol City for using abusive language. So yeah, he won't be there. He won't be on the touchline this weekend. I've just seen that breaking news. All right, well, thanks for joining me tonight. You can check out our website, v2football.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at v2football. I've been Anthony Kendrick, and joined by Nick Davey. Good night.
Good night.